Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I am your host, Scotty Waz, and this is the season finale. And we'll get to that in a second, but obviously you know what that all means. You ever just have something you put off and you've been putting off? That's me with this show. You know there's a finality to it for this season, and you don't want to do it. In fact, I had a nice little playlist. If you want to hear it, here it goes. You'd like to hear it, here it goes. There was Freddie Dredd with the Cha-Cha, a nice little new rap star, eight bits. I don't know what the hell it's called. Then some Streetlight Manifesto live from San Francisco. Then some Wake Up Exhausted with Tegan Quinn and Alkaline Trio. And then a little Alkaline Trio San Francisco. And that's the playlist that I was stalling for to get on this thing. As we wrap up the season, that's it. That's all. That's all she wrote, ladies and gentlemen. The NHL canceled the playoffs. They said, no mas. We don't like what's happening here. And that's the end of it. Which, smart move. I can see a lot of other leagues doing it. More so, especially in the winter sports. Hell, they're postponing the Olympics. So if the Olympics don't have a damn hope, we can probably see the NBA and the NHL follow suit. So, you know, it's the smart thing to do if you don't want to bleed into next season. So, tis what it is, and here we are as a people. So, you know, let's get to the thing that I hate getting to, and something that was made public, and something that affects our show in the short term. Hopefully not in the long term. It's Mr. Kyle McCarthy, who helped a lot of stuff behind the scenes in terms of getting us interviews here for Chesapeake Hockey Week interviews, you know, giving Johnny basically carte blanche when it comes to becoming a photographer and then becoming team photographer, and a guy who had a lot of trust in us and who we had a lot of trust in him in terms of getting stuff down and getting stuff correctly. Sadly, because of all this crazy stuff and because the Maryland Black Bears as an entity are a smaller market, I guess is the correct term for it. He had to be furloughed, which was all over social media Wednesday night. We talked about it during Face Off Hockey Show, which is the other place you can find me if you miss my sultry sounds of my voice on Thursday nights here on this podcast station. But we talked about it a little there. And, you know, Colin Gay is just tremendous at what he does in terms of media relations, making sure we had everything we needed, everything was proper for us, and made sure everything was tip-top shape. He's a hard-ass worker, and I would love to see him back, obviously selfishly, when this is all passing. I would love to see him back with the Black Bears because I think he adds a huge value to the team off the ice, and then it makes jobs like myself and Johnny so much easier with what he's able to provide for us and say, hey, this is, let's do this, 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 and this, and it's good to go. So I think he might be on to bigger and better things, though, because he is so good. And much like in junior hockey, you want to excel. I think off the ice in junior hockey, you want to excel as well. So fare thee well, Colin McCarthy. He's not going too much. I think he's still living in D.C., folks, so... You know, once we get down there for the Big Stan Invitational in August, COVID willing, then we'll go down, we'll have a drink with him, it'll be a fun time, we'll have a bowling seminar, it'll be fantastic. We will all love it, because we all love Colin. The outpouring of love that he got it is fantastic. So, you know, the man has left a indelible mark on the Black Bear Nation when people know what's up with that. So... hopefully we'll see him back, and hopefully we'll see the Black Bears back sooner rather than later. But what a season it was. Record-breaking season, as it were. It's 2 years, sure. But a record-breaking season. Nonetheless, 20-win season. That's pretty big by huge. I mean, a team last year that only mustered, I believe, 16. So it's huge. I mean, it's a big thing for them. They were in a playoff spot once things all were said and done. I mean, the goal differential was down. When you look at the numbers as a whole, which I've been starting to do a little historical kind of here's what's what kind of situation, I mean, the team's getting better in terms of not letting a lot of shots in and also scoring a lot. So that helps a lot, too. So they were on pace
for probably a playoff spot. Who knows in this wacky world of hockey? They had been towards the end of the season, or towards the end here, only 3 wins in the last 10, but it seemed like things were turning the right way. Just a bounce here and there, make your own luck situation. But that's all for naught now. We don't know what the hell's going on. It's craziness akimbo when it comes to what's happening in the NHL and pretty much the world. But we end on this note, and we have to do a year in review for this team right now because it was quite the year. Jackson Starrett led the team with goals in 19 and in points with 42. Right behind him, Hampus Rydqvist, 30 assists for him this year, leading the team 41 points, while Braden Stannard, 13 goals, 22 assists for 35 points. Then get Wilmer Skoog, who left halfway through the season with 15 goals, 18 assists for 33 points as a whole. Now, Starrett and Rydqvist are definitely leaving, as it was by the farewells given by the Black Bears on Wednesday afternoon. And the interesting thing is whether or not Braden Stannard will join him. Obviously, he is a guy who is committed to UNO, as the kids like to say. UNO! University of Nebraska at Omaha, for those who don't like me shouting in their ear. So we'll see if he goes. He is he's going to be 18 in the I don't know if he can go, actually, so he might be back for another season if he doesn't go to the NHL or to the USHL. So cuff that then. Jackson Starrett, he gone. Hampus Rydqvist is gone as well as the additions of Swanee, Aaron Swanson, who came on late into the season, provided 4 goals and 9 points over his 12 games with the Black Bears. Also is fare thee well is Captain Logan Kanz, who you want to talk about a turnaround season for him. Last year, he, you know, was in and out of the lineup, kind of, you know, just strung around a bit, kind of trying to find his spot here, there, and everywhere. This year, just found his way. Like, you want to talk about a renaissance for a kid like Logan Kanz. 5 goals, 3 game winners, 19 assists, captaincy, and just, you know, he was an all-around great player in terms of this on and off the ice as well. Someone that I think a lot of guys could probably model after in terms of how you conduct yourself off the ice. I mean, you can conduct yourself on the ice one way, but off the ice is a whole different ball game from there. So it's huge for him to lead the way like that. So he shall be a bit missed as well. Also, Jack Smiley, fare thee well. Another guy who was short-term, guy who came on late into the season before the trade deadline, only had a goal in 12 games, but a guy who was very, very active on the puck. His forecheck was quite amazing. He was able to muck it up, get his stick in the lane. Almost looked like his stick was a good 6.5 inches longer than everyone else's. It looked like he was carrying a damn long stickman lacrosse stick out there. So he had that going for him, stretching out, and he was a great addition there late, also bringing a little bit of physical aspect to the game as well. Not to be outdone, the two guys we mentioned before, Jackson Starrett, who 4 shorthanded goals this season, 6 on the power play, and or 6 power play assists, no power play goals. A guy who's going to UMass Lowell as a Riverhawk. A lot of electricity with this guy. Somehow always found breakaway speed to get split the defenseman and able to just turn on the afterburners and find the perfect spot to pot those shorthanded goals and get himself separated. Also set a single season record for the Black Bears with 19 goals in a season. Then you have Hampus Rydqvist, who midway through the season committed to the University of Miami at Ohio, the Red Hawks, and a guy who I'll be seeing now for the next 4 years up here in North Dakota. You want to talk about a kid with a booming shot and a kid who is excelling on the power play. 16 of his 41 points coming on the power play, 4 power play goals, 12 power play assists, not to be outdone, a shorthanded goal and 2 shorthanded assists in his stead as well. So 5 of his 11 goals coming on special teams, 14 of his 30 assists coming on special teams as well. A smart player all around, hard hitter too. Don't let the size fool you. He is a little bit undersized, but he will pack a punch out there, and I think he will do very well in the rebuilding Miami team. And I'm going to be excited to see him starting next season, God willing, of course. So we will see him. I will see him personally more and more and more. As for everybody else, I mean, you can't say enough about this crop of guys. There was a lot of returnees. There were a ton of guys who were just new, and you didn't know what was going to happen, especially considering last year. But this team banded together, I think, and bought in a whole heck of a lot. A guy like Luke Mountain, who carried the load last year, didn't need to carry so much of the load this year. Only 9 goals for him, 25 points, but a guy who brought the veteran leadership, who also kind of was a conduit from the coaching staff, knowing what they expect out of players, him and Logan Kanz, knowing what to expect from last year, converting it to players, and a guy who also holds himself in a very high regard, Luke Mountain does. So, well, interesting to see if he, I believe he has one more year of eligibility left in junior, so we'll see if he makes a final kick at the can with the Black Bears, or if he will go up into the USHL. I think he was one of the, you know, he was picked in the priority draft last year in the USHL. Didn't quite make the cut there, so we'll see how it goes from there. Cameron Recchi was a fireball. I mean, here's a kid who and I mean this in the nicest way possible, very Luis Mendoza kind of player, very speedy guy. A little trouble with puck handling every now and again, but a kid who brought a lot of energy to the lineup. Him, also Reed Liebel, a guy who, a local product, a DMV product, brought a lot of energy to this team, especially late in the season. Really came on, getting him a spot in the top prospects game and then allowing him to move forward and build off of that. Same with Thomas Jarman. Jarman, a big, big defenseman, played a few games last season with the Black Bears, but again, kind of like Logan Kanz, came on a lot this season with 17 points in 50 games, and another big, big force back there on the blue line. Then you have a guy like Aiden Bruich, who first-round pick this year for the Black Bears, third overall, came in, took a little while to adjust, but his size, 6'3", 200 bills plus, and he made his presence well felt, and I hopefully he can come back next year and build off of what he did last year. I mean, Andrew Reimer, a heart and soul guy, like a guy who in any instance would play, and just that pit bull, that tenacity, ready to go in the grind, ready to just dig it out in the faceoff circle. Garrett Sidlowski, a guy who I think was very underrated overall, found his spots here and there, a hell of a shot as well. I think his shot very underutilized this year, and a very smooth skater as well. Jude Curtis, a kind of a returnee, played a few games last year to get his feet wet. Didn't play many this year, 39 games of the 52 that were played this season, jumping back and forth. Logan Kittleson, also a guy who, he brought a lot of skill and dynamic to the team. Just kind of, for some reason or another, just couldn't get a consistency flow going. But he had probably one of the prettiest goals this season with a between-the-legs shot going roof daddy against Jamestown. And what can you say about Cooper Black? I mean, this kid who, in all honesty, he was such an interesting player to go about and to watch and to see just how this big goaltender was able to maneuver overall and played super well this year, getting 2 shutouts with the Black Bears, going 9-6-3, 258 goals against, 916 save percentage. Andrew Takas also had 9 wins this season before he got traded to Odessa. A Maryland product there, 315 goals against, 899, traded for another Maryland product in Aaron Randazzo, who only got 2 wins in his 10 games. 331 goals against, 860 save percentage. But, I mean, the goaltending, it was much more stable this year than it was last year, which is always good to see. And, again, hopefully Cooper Black can come back and build off of this if he isn't picked up somewhere else. Great kid. Same with Aaron Randazzo. Same with Andrew Tack. It's like the thing with the Black Bears, you have a lot of good kids on this team. And they're held to a high standard, and that's what President Robin Remick kind of brings home. It's like, don't be something you wouldn't want to, Be a role model for people, even at a young age. Be a role model. Be what you want it to be, and be what you want to look up to. And I think that that holds true with this team to a person, from the players to the coaching staff to the trainers to everybody. Like, everybody is held to a high regard, and they hold that high regard there. From what I saw in my limited time there, but it was a season. I was glad to be able to get down to see a game. It was really quite the experience, and hopefully we can do it again next year. Here's hoping, fingers crossed, we can get this done. And hey, who knows? Maybe I can get down to Blaine for a little showcase action. That'd be pretty cool too, just to hang out and do the showcase and maybe do some other things. We'll see how it goes. But thank you to the Black Bears for a memorable season, and a season who will always be like, well, you know what? We ended in the playoff. We ended in a playoff spot, regardless of all the chatter that was going on there. So, it was a good season to build off of, and now it's time to get that hunger and tenacity going on to next year, knowing you were so close and it was taken away. Now it's to leave no doubt right now. Just make sure it's good to go. TCB, leave the, what is it, LND, not that one, Scott. Not that one at all. The only other team we haven't mentioned, and their season ended 2 weeks ago, I think it was, when this whole thing, their season ended, and then everything fell apart for everybody else. But Team Maryland, coming off of their first playoff appearance, and a team who you want to talk about huge improvement, a team who was a cellar dweller last year. Josh Fusco comes in. A lot of guys come with him, but this team goes huge and is able to get into the playoffs, albeit a short stint, but it was a short stint for anybody overall. But a lot of kids came with him from Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and that helped out a lot. Chief among them is Tristan Mock, who led the team this season with, I believe it was 43 points, if the EHL website would agree with me right here. Nope, 61 points in 43 games. 61 points. That's 26 goals, 35 assists for 61 points. He had six power play goals, 19 power play points, 5 shorthanded goals, and 2 shorthanded assists. So Tristan Mock comes in, house of fire, and does that. Cody Rumsey and Dennis Arkhipenko right behind him with 40 points. Rumsey 13 and 27. Arkhipenko 16 and 24. Jada Reuter got off to a madhouse start this season and then kind of simmered there, but still good for 17 goals and 36 points, including 3 goals and 7 3 power play goals and 7 power play points and 4 shorthanded goals and 1 shorthanded assist. Johnny Jackson potted 35 points over the course of the season, but his stat line for Team Maryland is even better. 9 goals, 7 assists in only 13 games of regular season play for Johnny Jackson since coming over from the New Jersey 87s. And he was the leading guy in the playoffs as well, just leading the way for Team Maryland with a stat line of 1, 2, and 3. Not a, you know, stat line being as it is, but still a guy who came on, had something to prove, and definitely proved it in that instance there, just making sure, you know, the short-lived playoff, he made the most of it, and he did. We'll see what the future has for him. Jackson Dobick, 12 goals, 33 points. Captain Evan Green, 5 goals and 21 points from the blue line, while John McDonald, 8 goals and 25 assists on the blue line as well. Then you had guys like Bobby Geyer and Jeff Rebman, who very skilled playmakers, 16 goals or 16 assists for each of them. Geyer 25 points, Rebman 23 assists, and then you have, I believe he's going to be the Cy Young winner this year for Team Maryland, Connor Ball, 15 goals, 7 assists, including 6 power play points, evenly distributed 3 and 3. Goaltending was interesting. As it was really, I mean, this was a lot of, Team Maryland played a lot of fire wagon hockey games, ladies and gentlemen. Last year, where they might have gotten blown out, they stuck with it, and they were able to go. Zach Richards was 11-12-1 with a 370 goals against and an 893 save percentage with 2 shutouts. Peter Sciolas was 10-9-0 with a 355 goals against and an 890 save percentage with 3 shutouts there. And the biggest bugaboo for this team in terms of just their season was those showcase games where I think they went winless And it was not a fun time for them at those showcase games. They got better as the showcase games went on, but just overall, it was just bad news bears for them. But playoffs, win a game in the playoffs, and then here you are. What you can build off of there, you build off a bad season last year, get to a playoff appearance, maybe go further in the playoffs next year, and so on and so forth. There is a good culture with Team Maryland. They are going to be held accountable. They do have the Black Bears kind of there peeking through, and you know, guys like Arkhipenko. Denny Arkhipenko got a call up to the big squad. Connor Ball, I believe, got something up there. David Fossil, I think, got some time up there. So it's a nice little move to be able to have that and see that and try to attain that. And these guys are going to make the most of their spot there who come back. Tristan Mock, I think, is gone. He is off the college. Same with Evan Green. Those guys are off the college. So it's going to be an interesting situation what's going to happen here. Moving forward, I think John McDonald as well off to college. But a good second season for Team Maryland, the EHL, and we'll just have to see where this takes them above and beyond for the future. Let's get to the players. And it's time to kind of shout out everybody who is now done, for better or for worse. This season is over, ladies and gentlemen. And just looking at the stat lines here, obviously, well, except for the AHL, they have not yet decided to close up shop or not. We know it's coming, but still. Sam Annis, 70 points this year, huge season for him. We talked to him when he was up here in North Dakota, taking on the Iowa, with the Iowa Wild, taking on the Manitoba Moose, and a guy who just had the desire and the 20 goals, 70 points, 50 assists there. Huge, huge turnaround for last year when it was very up and down, trying to find a balance for him. He found that balance and blew the whole thing away. David Bondra, not too much showing with Kulon Red Star in the KHL, only one goal, two assists in 18 games played there. Whereas Mike Chen for the KRS Kulon Red Star BSU Beijing for the lower league, 3-8 and 11 there. Not a lot to see from Chen. I mean, it was very hard to get the VHL statistics and hard to track him after his pretty boom last season with Knoxville, then bumped him up to South Carolina late into the season, moving up the pro ranks. But of course, when you have the chance to play over in a KHL setting and in such a setting like China and that exotic setting, it's something that's desirable. You go to the money. I can't blame him. Overall, it is what it is. Madison Ferrand, her senior season only yielded two goals and 7 points. And RIT again, not really being a big suitor in women's hockey, but she closed out a fourth letter season for herself, something to be very proud of, and maybe it'll get her a spot there in the NWHL. We'll have to see what the future provides for her. Patrick Giles finishing out a sophomore season, very, very, I guess, injury-filled or scratch-filled, only 3 goals and 5 points in 10 games for the big products from Landon. William Margell from Coquitlam, 23 points in 30 games for Coquitlam. Just the halfway through the season, I do believe, because he played with the Madison Capitals earlier in the season, the USHL, only 1 goal there before moving to the BCHL, and then 7 points in the playoffs for him, 2 goals and 5 assists in only 4 games. Looks like he'll be moving on to the University of New Hampshire next year. So that would be a huge boost for him and Hockey East as a whole. Graham McPhee, 5 goals, 12 points for Boston College. Another guy who kind of just couldn't find a balance in terms of this season. Had to see if he'll boost him up for his senior season next year, I do believe. Bryce Montgomery, who is a young defenseman out of Bowie, 2 assists in 33 games for the London Knights. The London Knights are a hard team to crack in terms of just the lineage, much less a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old trying to crack the lineup. It was an interesting development for him. But next year, I'm sure, bigger and better things. He knows his way around. He can navigate his way around. So we'll see what he can do for next year for Dale Hunter in that group. Colin O'Neill in his last season of college hockey, It looks like he will be moving onward and upward with a 6-8-14 stat line for UMass of Lowell. And he has a nice little Hockey East Championship to his credit after his 4 years, getting an A on his chest as well. So his brother will have one more year left with Providence. Injury-filled year for Jason O'Neill. Kind of got hurt there before semester break. Only 5 goals and 13 points for his troubles. Veronica Petty had a bit of a drop-off from last season. Of course, last season she was pretty much on fire in her sophomore year, where she netted 18 goals and 34 points. This year, very, very quiet. 7 goals, 18 points overall. But another championship for her in Hockey East with Northeast, who ran the gamut regular season and then in the postseason. Would have been fun to see what they could have done in a tournament. But alas, here we are. Ben Perico joined the Union College team, didn't play a game though, so we'll see what that brings about for next year overall, if that means he was just redshirted, just injury, just whatever it was, and we'll see if he can bounce back next year. Jarrett Rosberg had a stellar senior season in terms of just making his presence known. 4 goals, 17 points, and then signed a contract with the Dallas Stars very late and was able to get 2 games in for the Texas Stars, totaling up a goal and an assist in his very first game, which was on the 10th, and kind of got lost in the whole COVID thing, in a very big win for the Texas Stars there at the end, a big pro debut for him in that game. But he is going to move on to bigger and better things with the Dallas program next year. Obviously, a big buy defenseman, a 6'2", 205. Left-handed shot, so I think it's going to be a good addition for the Stars' depth. Haley Skorupa, she did a great job this year just off the ice, being a community director for the Washington Capitals, helping women's program in a big way, and also the Dream Gap Tour for the PWPHA. So it was a big, big off-ice event for her. Eric Sweetman, a guy who kind of got a little bit of injury problems as well in the middle of the season, wasn't able to get too much off of there. 45 games, only 10 points, 3 of those as goals. Not really much to speak about for him just because of injuries. And Adam Varga as well, a guy who had a rough season last year in his first year in the OHL, one of the first Maryland, or second year in the OHL rather, and then... this year, only a couple games of Mississauga before getting traded to Ottawa. And then Ottawa started to find his footing a little bit, 7 goals and 10 points in only 42 games. So that, that matched his complete OHL total of in 109 games. Like, he had 7 goals in 109 games prior. Sorry, 123 games. 123 games, 7 goals, goes to Ottawa, 7 goals in 42 games. Can't tell me they didn't find a fit for him, as he will be entering his 4th season as a junior player. We will see where this takes him. I think he is about to age. He will be in his last year of junior hockey, I do believe. So we'll see if he can use this as a big bowstring point. He's going to be 19 next in the summer. So we'll see where this can take a young Adam Varga here. Goaltending Jacob Caffrey kind of fell off the map. He played for Roanoke last year, and I don't think he played any this year, which is kind of sucks. I mean, a kid who came from that big Stevenson crew out there, and then moved up to Roanoke, had a stellar season in Roanoke last year, but yeah, then kind of just fell off, and it's a shame he couldn't get a gig somewhere. Aaron Randazzo, we know about what he's been able to do with the Black Bears. While Sam Walther, who came back in a big, big way with the Metropolitan Riveters, 374, 892, and 8 wins, I think, with the Riveters of Metropolitan area in the NWHL, and only one playoff appearance, which was an overtime loss, but a stellar game for her overall. So we will see what it brings. Also having an assistant coaching job for her alma mater in Nichols College in NCAA D3. nice to have that coaching assignment there. And then Lizzie Wu, give a shout out to her, another Maryland goaltender from the Montgomery Blue Devils thing, and didn't get any games in. She's still rostered for Newman University, the Columbia product, but no games for her this season. So that's a shame. She'll be a senior next year. We'll see if she can get into maybe one game here and then get her some stats there. That'd be pretty cool. But that's it. We've done it. Another season done and gone. If you miss us, you can check out us on Twitter and Facebook at Chesapeake HW Pod. That's where you can find stuff that is up and happening when it comes to Maryland hockey in the off season, in the on season, all that other fun stuff there. I'd like to thank a lot of people. Myself, first off, because I'm egotistical. Second, you guys. If you guys didn't listen and didn't have feedback, I would have no reason to do this show. So I thank you guys for listening and putting up with this Maryland content. If you don't like it, thanks for the support. But if you do like it, hey, thanks even more for the support. Thanks to Team Maryland and Maryland Black Bears President Robin Remick for bringing us into the den and welcoming me, myself, and Jen very cordially when we went down, as well as giving us all access to the players and coaches. Same with Colin McCarthy, who was a huge help to this program. And hopefully we'll see him back next year when hockey gets underway. Alex Atano, a guy who connected with a little bit here and there on the social medias. Maybe we'll have to have him on in the next season going in as a season preview situation and play his old broadcasting tapes for him. Did I say that? Thanks to everybody who I talked to this season. A lot of Maryland Black Bears I talked to. Talked to Josh Fusco from Team Maryland. Talked to Derek Olombrowski of the Naval Academy. Everybody who gave me time, in general this season, thank you all very much. This was a fun year, and hopefully we can build off of it. And, we will see what can happen. Like I said, if you miss my dulcet tones, you can watch, you can listen to the Vulgar show that I do. That's called Face Off Hockey Show. It's the show that's been going on for 18 years now, since 2001. And, we're going to ride this storm out every week. Why? We have nothing better to do on Wednesday nights than this, because we're all coronavirus quarantined in. So there's that. But again, thank you all for listening. It means more than you know. This is the season finale of Season 2 for the Chesapeake Hockey Week. I've been Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else now more than ever. This is part of the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. It is part of Blog Talk Radio, and it's part of your lives, I'm sure. We'll meet again. We will be in touch. Don't you worry. Season 3 will be here before you blink an eye. Hopefully. Maybe. We'll see. It's going to be crazy out there. Stay safe. Get some Natty Bo. Liquor stores aren't going to be closing up. Larry Hogan's got a plan. Ain't going to be for those liquor stores to close up. You can get that Natty Bo. Get a good old Natty Bo. Get some crab chips. Maybe go to Frank's Den there. Get a delicatessen. Play some darts. Probably can't play darts. You get a delicatessen. Got a drive-through window. Drive-through window, Frank's Den there, hon. Get a Natty Bo to go, hon. See you all next season.